This is a Collider.com audio interview.
He's running late.
Okay. So you're in the middle of a promotional, just tons of promotions with this and Hamlet 2.
That's right.
So how's this last month been treating you?
Well, the last 7 days, last 9 days, I've got 9 cities in 9 days. And, not the way to see America, but it was it's pretty grueling, but... I'll try and treat each interview as if it's the first one I've done.
So have you met any actors like this? Did you just love being the director and saying, hey, guys?
Have I met any actors like... The funny thing is, Ben's playing this very egocentric actor, it was quite difficult because... But a lot of the things Ben wrote into the script are things that he himself has experienced, and maybe kind of even some of his own vanities he put into the script as well. You know, so it's kind of self-deprecating in a way. And Robert Downey is not a million miles away from sort of the method actor he plays, by his own admission, and because of that, he's able to commit to it totally. And something that could be fraught with problem if done badly, if that was done badly, it would look sort of doubly bad. And he managed to pull it off, but I think what was difficult about me was I was playing the director, and Ben was obviously the real director. And there was a scene in it where he's playing the actor in the scene with me as the director, and he's yelling. We have to improvise. He has to yell cut, and he has to say cut as the actor. And I have to tell him, no, you're not the director, I'm the director. So we're not cutting, we're still rolling, you know. And he says, cut, and I'm going, no, we're still rolling. And then I start thinking, well, is Ben Stiller saying cut? Or is the actor saying cut in the scene? And that was really confusing, because he'd be saying, no, cut, and I'm going, okay. And I'm going, and I'm saying, no, we're not cutting. He's going, no, we're cut. So I'm saying, well, I know, hang on a second, Ben, are you saying cut? And he went, no, I'm just acting. I will start again. So that was very, very confusing. But it was a lot of fun, and great working with, you know, such stalwart, seasoned professionals. It's a breeze. It's just it's like a holiday. I don't have to worry about anything. I just do what Ben Stiller tells me, and enjoy the ride.
Were there some directors that you were inspired by?
Well, there are lots of those. I think what Ben was just going for is there are lots of English, English directors, I think, who probably. Make headway very quickly in Hollywood, because they know how to talk and they know how to sound like they know what they're doing, until they actually get out there in the field and then it all falls apart. So I don't think it's sort of made sense that someone the conceit being that the director that I play has had this really sort of glittering theatre background in England, and has won lots of awards for that, and therefore some Hollywood studios have taken a punt on him and think that he's the next big thing, and given him enough rope to hang himself, which is kind of what happens.
When you played that scene in the conference room opposite Tom, was he there, or were you playing against nothing?
No, I was playing against nothing, but I did rehearse with Tom early on, so I got a feel for in which he gave me the full sort of the full gamut of his wrath, he kind of tore my head off, in a funny way. So that was pretty but when we came to shoot it, then Justin Theroux, the co-writer, was just said Tom's lines, and they put him on the screen later.
I was going to say, were you able to keep a straight face when the first was doing that to you, or?
Oh, well, no, it's keep a straight face. No, it was very keep a straight face. It was quite intimidating. Because I was sat when I was rehearsing with him, he was because the things he says to me are really, really horrible. and he says them, yeah, right, and when Tom Cruise is just sort of bawling at you, you know, standing this far from you, then that's kind of, you don't want to, the last thing you want to do is laugh, you know.
What was it like out in that, those clearings out in, I guess when you shot in Kauai?
Yes, Kauai, yes, that's right, yeah, Kauai.
So,
yeah.
So how far from anywhere were you? Quite. Tents to live in? Or
No. We could get back to the hotel, but it was like a 20, it was a, you know, like some of 25, mile drive sometimes, or it seemed like you had to have like a four wheel drive to get to the location. You couldn't go in a regular car, so it was like on a dirt track through. In fact, they had to build some roads to the location because there was no other way to get there. So they had to build a road, and because it was newly laid, you know, but it was still kind of like a gravel track through the clearing, you know.
So no looky loos from the tourists because they didn't know where the heck you were.
No, they didn't. No. I mean, precisely. Unless you knew exactly where to go, you couldn't find us. Ben came in by helicopter every day.
Oh God.
And just landed in a clearing near the set. But it took you a while to get there. And when it rained, it really was mad because all the road was kind of just became like mud, you know. And people walking around in these big kind of like plastic things that you pull over the bottom because you literally going like a rock concert, but with more at stake.
So just to be clear, Ben got to take the helicopter, but nobody else got. Yeah.
Basically, yeah, yeah. That's what I thought, yeah. I got a ride in a helicopter. It was one of the ones we used in the production. I think it was like one of the military Huey helicopters. So it was like, you know, I wasn't doing anything in the morning. He's a director. Why don't you come pick me up? You know.
When you're doing something which is also aimed for North American audience, or specifically aimed, do you find yourself altering your comic style?
Are you referring to this film specifically, or
my work in general?
To some extent, yes. I mean, there are. I mean, if I've done television work in England and film work in England, but the first film I've done that's sort of aimed specifically at American audiences really is that I played lead in is Hamlet 2, the Hamlet 2 movie where I actually do play an American, and that's written in a very American style. So, but the comedy, really, comic timing, I don't think really there's a great deal of difference. People talk about the difference. There are certain differences in styles of writing comedy between the Americans and the British.
Well, I've seen a lot of your stuff when I've been over in the UK. But for example, I guess what I'm getting at is somebody like Morecambe and Wise never really.
No, of course not. No.
America.
No. You're right. There are differences, and sometimes it's tonal. I think that my observation is that generally, I think the Americans don't like the British quite like losers, and gravitate towards people who fail constantly. And the Americans like people who, maybe whilst failing slightly, have to ultimately win or succeed in some way. And there are certain there's certain rhythms of the way you do things. I'm doing a live tour in the fall in England, and a lot of the comedy in that I know wouldn't translate specifically because there are certain rhythms of delivery, and also the way you speak if you're doing different accents. But generally, I think there's more in common than there are more similarities than dissimilarities. We have far more in common comically in terms of comic taste with Americans because of our commonality of language than we do with our European cousins. They're only 20 miles away. We don't share any sense of humour with the rest of Europe. You know, just don't. You know. So we just share kind of old buildings and history. You know. But in terms of humour, all our cultural references are often the same as because of television and entertainment. We watch the same, often a lot of the same stuff. So it's not a huge stretch.
I wanted to know how much did you have to prepare for playing your uncredited part as a police inspector in Hot Fuzz?
Oh, jeez. I didn't even. I just went in, and that was a favour to Simon Pegg, who used to be my used to support, when I was doing my live show, he was my support act. He was the guy who came on and filled in between me, you know, when I was getting changed, and did the kind of comedy in between. And then he suddenly became a movie star, and I had to turn up and just you know, and do the kind of the tiny role, you know. That was like a couple of days or something. Like that, you know.
Can you talk about what's the chronology about doing Hamlet 2 with this film? Did you do one?
I did Tropic Thunder and almost straight, and like a couple of weeks later, I started shooting Hamlet 2. So Hamlet 2 was pretty soon after.
And Hamlet 2 has been a pretty quick process because it went to like. They just had finished it and went straight to Sundance?
That was it was very quick. We finished shooting in November and it was in. And we went to Sundance in January and it got sold in January. So he was very fast.
And what was your feedback on Rocky Sexy Jesus?
I was very nervous about doing that, obviously, because I'm most nervous about explaining it to my parents, who are quite who are God-fearing simple folk. The feedback's been pretty good, but then most people, you know, in the media tend to be a little more broad-minded. So how it's going to go down in certain parts of America, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think there's anything. If you're just trying to be shocking for the sake of it, that's one thing. But if you're doing something, if your comedy's coming from a certain perspective and there's a point to it, then I think people see that. People who are reasonable and intelligent people can see that there's a point to what you're doing. Monty Python's Life of Brian, you know, caused a similar fuss. And as for doing kind of a Rock Me Sexy Jesus, well, Jesus Christ Superstar was trying to make Jesus into a kind of a pop star. Godspell was the same thing. So it's not like a new idea. I don't think.
You said that you've actually been on a 9-city tour, I think, or close to that.
Yeah.
So obviously you're doing that for Hamlet 2, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what has the reaction been to those cities? Like, have you gotten any negative feedback? Have you been surprised?
No, none at all. But then we just handpicked all the places where are bastions of liberal tolerance. Avoid places where I might get lynched. We just did the, you know, San Francisco, Minneapolis, and San Diego, and
You're working for
it.
Sally. Your fate in this film, did you have to do a, I don't know if this is
yes.
going to be a secret, because it's been on the internet, yeah, and
okay,
seen it
okay.
Did you do a head mold thing?
Yes,
and
yeah.
How, or,
well, it's quite interesting. What they do is, I've had it done a few times, actually. If you're not a very, very calm person, it can be very claustrophobic, because they actually encase your head in plaster, kind of. They seal it inside, and they make two tiny holes for your nose so you can breathe. And they keep asking you if you're okay as they keep slapping it. And the more they slap on, the heavier it gets, so your head starts to sort of. And they ask you if you're okay, and all you can do is use your thumb and do this or that. I don't know what they're supposed to do if you do that, because you're already entombed. My daughter was there when they were doing it, and she was kind of freaked out, saying, "Are you okay?" And I was going, like this, holding her hand to reassure her that I was. But you can't communicate well for about like 35-40 minutes.
Freak out. What was your reaction when you saw the expression on your face?
Well, I had to actually when I was being sealed in this tomb, I had to hold this expression like for 40 minutes. They don't just put it around your head, they shove it in your mouth. No. So you're kind of entombed and it's inside your mouth. And you have two tiny holes just to your nose. They keep clearing away so you can breathe, so you don't suffocate.
So what was your reaction when you saw your face?
It was just odd. I mean, I do have. I've got a photograph of my daughter holding my severed head. Really quite disturbing.
How old is your daughter?
12.
She can't see this movie.
No, she can't. No, she won't.